I love welcoming friends to Johnswood, and this is a particularly exciting occasion. I am so honored that the UA Little Rock Center for Arkansas History and Culture has produced the Charlie Mae Simon digital exhibit. I got an early peek, and it reminded me that I have had, as they describe it, an extraordinary life. I hope you will visit the site very soon. One thing you will learn when you visit the site is that I submitted my first manuscript for publication when I was only 13 years old, but it was rejected, and I decided to be an artist instead of a writer. But the three things people ask most often about my life are about the men I've loved, my writing, and the significance of Johnswood. So, let me tell you about the men in my life. At 21, I married Walter Lowenstein, whose father owned the Memphis department store Lowenstein's. I know there were ugly rumors at the time that I had married Walter just because of his money. Well, let me remind you, it is just as easy to fall in love with a rich man as a poor man. And I was devastated when Walter died only 7 years later. I did inherit a sizable fortune, which allowed me to study art at the Chicago Art Institute and in Paris. That's where I met and married, in very short order, Howard Simon. Howard was quite a talented artist, and shortly after we married, we moved to San Francisco, where Howard had a solo exhibit of his works in 1928. Unfortunately for all, in 29, the Great Depression hit, and Howard and I had moved to New York City, but we were literally starving in paradise. After we lost our savings in a bank failure, Howard came up with a grand idea. We would move to Arkansas to a cabin of our own. I readily agreed, because as a child, I had always been happy in Arkansas when my family visited relatives during our time in Memphis. Howard and I settled in Rocky Crossing, a rural part of Perry County. For 4 years, we were participants in a culture filled with both joy and sorrow. We called our cabin Possum Trot, and news of local, state, and national events traveled through a grapevine that was nourished at common gathering places, church events, a neighbor's front porch, or the valley store. I had never fully given up the desire to write, and in 1933, I finally found literary success with an article published in Scribner's Magazine titled Retreat to the Land, An Experience in Poverty, which was about our time at Possum Trot. I later learned that John Gould Fletcher, already a noted poet, determined to meet me when he read that article. If one can have a torrid love affair through letters, then that's how I would describe the next 2 years. John and I did meet, while we were both still married to someone else, at a party at the Pike Terry Fletcher House where John had grown up in Little Rock. The spark was immediate, and when Howard and I moved back to New York City, John and I corresponded through letters. We kept them all. I guess that's what writers do. 2 years after we met, John and I divorced our spouses and married in 1936. I must note that I kept the Simon name, only partially for professional purposes, and Howard continued to illustrate the children's books that I was writing. Despite our detours along the way, I was meant to spend my life with John Gould Fletcher and he with me. We traveled and hobnobbed with literary luminaries of the time. We wrote, we built Johnswood, and we were passionately devoted to one another. John won the Pulitzer Prize for poetry in 1939, and we were contented and happy being together. However, John was like a fire, and sometimes he burnt very hot. And unfortunately, John's mental illness did impact our life together. After John drowned in a nearby pond in 1950, most likely by suicide, I planned to sell Johnswood, thinking I couldn't bear to remain in the home that we had built and shared. I was lucky that the intended buyer was wise enough to see that I wasn't really ready to sell, and he suggested that I back out of our agreement. Here's what I wrote about that turn of events later in my autobiography, Johnswood. Now that I could face my memories, I found to my surprise that they were of the living and not the dead, and that was good. They were a part of me, but not the entire part. They have shaped my present and will shape a future too for me. In my mind, I could hear John's voice again, saying as he had that night when he put down the book and started off to bed, "I feel I'm getting back to normal again." About our marriage, John had written, "Richer by far are we, having each other, than if each could have alone the world." It was a very good match. So, let me tell you a bit about my books. I'm still amazed when I realize that I published 29 books, including children's books, adult fiction, memoir, bibliographies, and an autobiography. When someone asks me what I'm proudest of, I must pause. It's akin to deciding which child is one's favorite. But I did love writing for children, and I realize now that I kept returning to one theme, overcoming adversity to achieve success. Perhaps because that was the pattern of my life, and certainly a pattern in John's life. And I thoroughly enjoyed the travel and discovery, which resulted in the biographies of such luminaries as Dr. Albert Schweitzer, philosopher Martin Buber, and industrialist Andrew Carnegie. I was incredibly honored in 1971 when an award was named in my honor by the Arkansas Department of Education. 4th, 5th, and 6th grade Arkansas children read nominated books and vote on their favorite to receive the Charlie Mae Simon Award each spring. I wonder how many children have participated and been forever changed by reading a particular book. That is my legacy. And finally, a bit about Johnswood. This home was both our palace and our prison. Because it was a refuge, John was sometimes reluctant to travel, even to important opportunities, to further his career. While here, we would have breakfast and then retreat to our respective studios to work. Writing is a lonely occupation, but we were both inspired by our oasis of Johnswood. I wrote of the plain and humble folk that I had known. John wrote of flowers and dark trees and shining lakes. Sometimes we were snowed in, and even traveling to downtown Little Rock seemed an impossibility. We entertained frequently soldiers from Camp Robinson and Little Rock's elite, who were often asked by John to support the symphony or an art exhibit while they visited. The best times were just John and me, reveling in each other's company and appreciating the specialness of Johnswood and our surroundings. I loved having martinis on the screened porch overlooking the woods. We call the porch our gallery. Each season had its pleasures, and much of John's poetry was about this marvelous place. Everything about Johnswood was carefully planned just for the two of us. John oversaw everything from the clearing of the land through the last brick laid. We planted fruit trees and nurtured the gardens. And if you plan a visit to Johnswood, I recommend that you come in the spring to see the grounds when everything is blooming, including, for example, the irises that we brought from a southern college town in Oklahoma. The house itself was designed by Max Mayer. The bookcases were specially planned to hold John's thousands of books. Because of our upbringing, John saw the house as cozy and small. To me, it was spacious, with drawers and closets for me alone, and even a room of my own, which I used as a study. Our time together at Johnswood was marked by the war. We moved into an almost finished house on December 13th after Pearl Harbor was bombed on December 7th. on the very day the bomb was dropped at Hiroshima. John was lecturing at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, decrying the possible use of an atomic bomb. Only after the lecture did John learn that the bomb had, in fact, been dropped that day. John died in 1950. My devastation at his death almost caused me to lose this special place. But as I explained before, fortune kept me here. And I am grateful that Charlotte and Bob Brown have loved this house and made it their home too.